Oh, this lady, you're going to fall in love. If you don't already know her, you're going to fall in love. This is our Susan O'Shaughnessy.
Well, after all those wonderful songs, it's hard to be nervous because you're quite a group. So it's Easter season, so I wish you all happy Easter. My name is Susan O'Shaughnessy, and I have known Reverend Millie since 2007, although I have known of her for several years prior to that. First, let me set the stage with a little bit about me. I was raised in New York, in the city and on Long Island. I had a loving family and some would say a privileged childhood. I was raised Catholic, but I had a good experience being raised Catholic. I attended an all-girls academy, which was a boarding school for many of the students. It was also the mother house for the Josephite nuns, and some of my friends went on to be postulants and then novices before they took their final vows. I'm sharing this because I want you to know that I grew up loving the liturgical calendar, and my teachers were thoughtful, questioning, and intelligent women who encouraged us to have a personal relationship with Christ, but also allowed us to develop an independent conscience based on that Christ relationship and not on Vatican rules. This background has proven significant because most of the spirits and guides who show up for me are recognizable and loving beings from a Christian basis. It's what I'm comfortable with and how spirit reaches me. Fast forward from 1969 to early 2000s and how I end up here tonight, because spirit always has a plan. In the early 2000s, I began experiencing some psychic phenomena that could not be resolved by my friend and priest, Father George Keith. He encouraged me to explore spiritualist places, and I found myself at Harmony Grove. After a wonderful weekend, Reverend Pete Monroe told me I should come to this wonderful church in Kensington. The pastor was Millie Landis. I filed it away, but I never came. A few months later, taking another class at Harmony Grove, I met and roomed with Jody Votel, who told me, "Oh, you would just love Millie Landis." I smiled, note to self, still no action. Now it's 2007, and I asked Patty Walsh, who's a business associate of mine whom I've known for over a dozen years, if she knows an artist. We needed some murals painted at work. Enter Gary Miller, who, within the first 15 minutes of meeting me, spills the beans on Patty Walsh, tells me she's a medium, ordained in the spiritualist church, and yes, you've got it, Millie Landis is the pastor of that church. "You really should go to class with me in September," said Gary. You could have knocked me over with a feather. Spirit had been carefully planting the seeds until I was ready, waiting for the time to be right for my spiritual development. Trust and surrender. It was time, and it was 2007, I started taking Thursday night classes. Walk into a room where I don't know anyone but Gary and Patty, and I sit next to Dennis O'Donnell, who was not only from New York, but from Long Island. Not only from Long Island, but from Comac. Not only from Comac, but a mile of my house was his house. We were just separated by Jericho Turnpike. Annette knows Jericho Turnpike. Also a new person in the class that night, just on the other side of the freeway where we all lived. There were 9 of us newbies that year, and we have all remained friends for the last 11 years. Our lives have interwoven over the past years. Oh, how I love spirit. So bringing me to tonight, first a disclaimer. I am not a theologian, and I'm not a religious historian. Spirit has asked me to put out a couple of thoughts, and my bibliographical sources are the much respected Google and Wikipedia. Spirit kept me honest and made me bring along the Bible, and we will be hanging out in the New Testament in Matthew tonight. Since it is Easter season, Spirit and Millie want me to share some thoughts that I've been given about the transfiguration, the resurrection, their purpose to each other, and how they matter to us as spiritualists in present time. Just some light topic. Let's start with Matthew 16:28. I tell you the truth. Some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Christ said that. Christ prophesies this about a week before the transfiguration, which is the very next chapter, Matthew 17:1-8. And this is that passage. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Just as Spirit prepares us with signs, words, messages, visions, sometimes over and over until we are ready, so did Jesus prepare his disciples for what was coming. This happened just before Palm Sunday and about 2 weeks before the resurrection. According to biblical scholars, there are several significant points to the transfiguration. 1, the transfiguration is the only miracle in the Gospels that happens to Jesus. All the other miracles Jesus creates. He makes them happen. Thomas Aquinas considered the transfiguration the greatest miracle in that it complemented baptism and showed the perfection of life in heaven. 2, the transfiguration is one of the 5 major milestones in the Gospels of the life of Jesus, the others being his baptism, his crucifixion, the resurrection and ascension. 3, in Christian teachings, the transfiguration is a pivotal moment, and the setting on the mountain is presented as the point where human nature meets God, the meeting place of the temporal and the eternal, with Jesus himself as the connecting point, acting as the bridge between heaven and earth. Up until this point in all the gospel stories, we only know Christ as human. In the transfiguration, we are shown he is one with God. We see him as supreme being. And 4, the transfiguration is considered by Christians to fulfill the prophecy that Elijah would return again after his ascension. So we're done with that prophecy. In addition, the thoughts I have been given by Spirit. The transfiguration was similar to a circle that we experience today, or a private time of meditation, where we have a communion with God. Those who see energy, and there are lots of you in here, always talk of the whitest, purest color when Christ energy appears. Often in circle or meditation, teachers, guides, angels appear. Humans who have crossed over appear in glorious splendor, just as Moses and Elijah. And in circle, there is always a specific message shared by all who are present, the message is delivered, and then the vision is over. On to the resurrection. Think about this. The disciples all together, frightened, heartbroken, angry, grieving. Imagine the raw emotion being experienced by Christ's followers from that Friday to Sunday. They were all part of a politically fueled public execution. It was just before dawn, we are told, not quite full daylight, because we can see energy in darkness more than we can in daylight. So again, allowing for the energy of angels to be seen by those who saw energy. The angel's appearance, we're told in the gospel, was like lightning, and the clothes of the angel were white as snow. The angels tell the disciples not to be afraid, and so does Jesus when they meet up with him in all his glory. I have been in circles right here in this room when the energy of angels has filled this room. It is mystifying but beautiful, frightening but joyful. Be not afraid. Have faith, we're told over and over in the Gospels. Turn fear to belief. Something happens to us in these sacred moments. A bond develops with those whom we share these circles, as I can tell by the friends who are here who have experienced some of that with me. I truly believe we are seeing Christ resurrected, glorified, as it happened 2,000 years ago, because he is the Son of Man. He did it for all of us, for all humanity. There are no time constraints. And that intimacy is available through Spirit when we are ready. Think about what signs you are being shown. Father Thomas Keating suggests that at some point in our spiritual growth, Jesus asks us to adjust ourselves to a new relationship with him. What needs to be done is simply to realize that the old relationship has come to an end, that God wants it to come to an end, and that he wants us to climb up to a new relationship based on new growth, a new maturity, spiritual maturity. Maybe that's what the transfiguration represents. We are in relationship with Christ in a very human way, but something happens and that relationship ends. We have to climb up the mountain, just as the apostles did at the transfiguration, to see Christ in a new way, a more whole, mature understanding of the Christ God in all his heavenly glory. Do I have time for one more story? Yes. A personal experience from a class that happened in April 2009. So Millie always reminds us to keep track of our experiences so that we know that we know that we know. And so does everybody here know Arnie Barrios? Arnie and I experienced a circle one Thursday evening. It was April 23rd, 2009. This was our second year of class together. My part of this recollection is about a wonderful touch-in with my father. My father, John, had crossed in 2002. His birthday is April 24th. Again, the circle took place on April 23rd. My dad was a special man. He was a wise, funny, spiritual guy. He loved his family, adored my mom. He had a flair for the dramatic, and his gifts, though not expensive or materialistic, could never be topped. Through his life on earth, I watched him grow. He worked out issues, became more accepting, and was spiritually ready when it was his time to cross. I have had wonderful encounters with him over the years. He has used music, met me on a labyrinth walk, did physical mediumship by throwing two M&Ms, his favorite candy, across the kitchen when I had no candy in the house. He's come through Thursday night classes twice, always pure love and joy. But on April 23rd, 2009, his visit became more for Arnie than for me, because Arnie became aware of being used by my father's spirit. It's wonderful to get a message. It's more wonderful to be the person who gives the message. I knew the moment my dad was with Arnie, because Arnie started to change his appearance. He started to transfigure. Arnie started to experience illness and sickness, but was also joking about it as we stood together in circle. And I knew it was my dad. My dad was very, very sick at the end of his life, but he would make fun of all the things that were wrong with him. Arnie took my hands and held them more strongly as he started to realize for the first time that he was giving a message from someone who was coming through that had not happened for Arnie before. And Arnie looked at me and he said, "I want to dance with you. And I want to give you flowers. I want to give you a corsage." Arnie did not know that my dad always gave me a cymbidium orchid corsage when we went to father-daughter dances. My dad loved to dance with us. Other wonderful messages were shared that evening, and I was completely joy-filled. And what happened next was the power of spirit working through Arnie. Arnie also owned a flower shop, and at this time, Arnie was working for someone else who had a flower shop. Arnie loves flowers. And I hadn't mentioned cymbidiums specifically to Arnie. We just talked about the corsage. The next day, April 24th, was my dad's birthday. When I got to work, the staff and all the residents were waiting for me to show up because they were so excited about a surprise that was there for me. There were lovely flowers in a vase with a sweet card from Arnie. Just to the side of this vase of flowers was a cymbidium corsage with a card that read, "Just like you're thinking of me today, I am also thinking of you. Love, Daddy." I never said once that I called my father Daddy. And it was April 24th. It was my dad's birthday. In my life, I have never been so touched. There is no question that my father wanted me to have that corsage, but also no question that he knowingly chose Arnie. Arnie is very similar to my father with a lot of the same qualities, and my dad saw that, lovingly used Arnie. And so this stays with me from something that happened in 2009 till now. It's one of my happiest memories and something that I share very deeply with Arnie. And so when I was going through the Bible and looking for the passage on the Transfiguration, I found the cards that Arnie had given me. So I'm going to pass them around, because these are the cards that were attached to the flowers. So thank you all for listening.
Honey, that was phenomenal. She did such a good job by... Tremendous job. She explained the Bible. She connected it all together. Oh, my. Shared her experience of having her daddy come through like that. Explained it all so well. Phenomenal, honey. Just fantastic. And I had to twist her arm a little bit to get her to guarantee that she would get up here and be brave to share her thoughts. But what a tremendous job you did. Now, see, that's what we want to do more often, is tie all of this into the Bible, because it is biblical. Jesus Christ said anything we could do. Fantastic angel lady. See, there's no wonder that she's out there working with the elderly folks. She cares. She cares. Well, I'm very touched. I wish Arnie had been here. I wish he had been here. Because for Arnie, all of this was new, you see. So the experience of him doing that was so completely new to him. Oh, everybody. Her daddy's not dormant. He's just free of the body. Because his body was no longer good. And you're every one of you going to leave the body someday. Someday. So we got a lot to do while we're still in the flesh. No one has time to waste. I know that your dad has to be just, and it's April, so it's not far off his time. Mm-hmm. Which is another thing, kids, the easiest time for your souls free of the body to get in touch with you is their time of coming to earth or leaving. For some reason, that's the easier time for them to get in touch with us. Oh, well, I feel like I've just had a big feast for my soul.